Man, what an opportunity we have to live for something greater than we are. I love the song we just sang. God has called us, He's made us, and He's called us to a higher calling. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today, is a higher calling. Last week, we jumped in, continuing in this series, Modern Family. And we looked at Ephesians, particularly in the part there, Ephesians 5, about wives, okay? So last week was the wives' turn. Today, this week, is the husband's turn, okay? So if you would, please, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we'll be. Ephesians 5. We're going to begin in the 15th verse and read down to the 21st. And then we're going to jump to verse 25 and read on in the chapter there. Verse 15. The Word of God says this. It says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Can I get an amen? The days are evil. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Now go down to verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." That's the reading of the Word of God this morning. Please be seated. Last week I asked you to just picture in your mind an escalator that's going downward. Okay, so just picture that in your mind. An escalator, maybe a big, tall, high escalator going down. The stairs are moving down. And then I ask you to picture a boy, I don't know, 4 years old, 5 years old. Picture a little boy who sees an adventure, who sees something exciting. He wants to play on the thing. He wants to go up the down escalator. So picture him trying to do that. He's running, he's pumping, he's really trying to get up that escalator. But guess what? It's impossible for him to do it, right? He might make some progress, but he can't get all the way to the top because the movement of the escalator is just too much. His little body just isn't strong enough yet. And even if I were to stand at the top and say, "Come on, I command you to come up that down escalator," he's going to fall short by a mile. That's sort of what we get here in Ephesians 5. That's the way I look at it, right? It's someone who cannot make it go up and trying to go up a down escalator. We looked at Ephesians 5 last week, and we're going to continue looking at it this week. Last week, we focused on wives. We focused on Spirit-filled submission. And like I said last week, if you think that's a tough calling on wives, wait till you see what God calls the husbands to. Because He says way more to husbands than He does the wives right here. And so this week, we're going to focus and talk about Spirit-filled sacrifice. Spirit-filled sacrifice. You know, friends, we can't ever forget that the commands from God were never meant to be accomplished out of our own strength. Amen? Right? Never meant to be. When God commands us to do something, He never says, just do it out of your own ability. because we're weak. We cannot do it. But praise be to God that God has given us the resources that we need. Not just natural resources, but supernatural resources. Because in our own strength, we're like the boy trying to run up the down escalator. The gravity of our sinfulness is just too strong. But praise be to God that He's provided everything that we need in the Holy Spirit. And so God, before He ever says, wives, submit, and before He ever says, husbands, sacrifice, look what He says. Verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's why I've worded the point this morning this way. This morning's point to the sermon is simply this. Husbands, by the power of the Holy Spirit, lovingly lay down your life for your wife. By the power of the Holy Spirit, husbands, lovingly lay down your life for your wife. In other words, this is love proven by action. You can tell your wife, today is my 12th anniversary with Christy. We've been married for 12 years today. Hey, all right. And we dated for 5 years before that. And so that's 17 years that we've been together. And I'm 34, so that's half my life I've been with this woman that God blessed me with. I'm so thankful for her. But we can't just say that we love our wives. We have to prove it, right? It's love by action. And so God tells husbands to love their wife, and then He gives us the how, doesn't He? That's what He does right here. And here's how. Oh, man. By laying down your life for her. Lay down your life. Just as Jesus taught, right? I mean, Jesus taught us that that's the greatest act of love, didn't He? Do y'all remember when Jesus said this in John 15, 13? Here's what Jesus said. John 15, 13, He said, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So in other words, husbands, you're to love your wife with the highest of love. You're to lay down your life for her. And what a calling that is. Guys, if you need motivation to live life and live life to the fullest, it's right there that you're to lay down your life. Now, no man that I've ever met, no boy that I've ever met grows up saying, you know, when I get big, I really want to just lay down my life for my wife. Right? I mean, that's not even on a boy's radar. But can I say this? That's what separates a boy from a man. Boys don't get married. Boys don't take on a wife. Men take on a wife. And if you're a man, then you lay down your life. It's a high calling. And God has given you one of the greatest gifts He could ever give you in that wife that He's put in your life. And here, like we talked about last week, He's placed her under your leadership. God has called her to submit to you. But just like Jesus, who said that He came not to be served, but to serve. And to give His life as a ransom for many, you husband, you have been called by God to not be served. Because sometimes when we hear wives submit to your husband, you think that God has given you a servant. No way. He's called you to be a servant. He's called you to be a servant. Just like God, just like Jesus, God's called you not to be served, but to serve your wife and lay down your life for your wife. You're to be a servant leader. What a glorious calling. What a high calling. And it's a calling that is so high that you'll never, ever, ever, ever do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. So, be filled with the Spirit, that you can lovingly lay down your life for your wife, so that you can be a living sacrifice for her. So how do you do that? Our text here this morning gives us four sacrificial actions that we as husbands have been called to do. Okay? Four sacrificial actions. First, husbands, by the power of the Holy Spirit, lay down your life for your wife by sacrificing to sanctify her. That's the first action. Sacrifice to sanctify her. Look at verse 25. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Now, friends, Jesus Christ, he literally laid down his life, didn't he? He literally died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might be sanctified. And in reflection of that, in light of that, husbands are supposed to imitate Jesus, not by literally sacrificing yourself, your life, but by metaphorically sacrificing for our wife. Now, sanctify, that might be words you don't normally use. I'm not even going to get a show of hands here because I don't want anybody to lie this morning. But did anybody use the word sanctify outside of the four walls of this church house? By the way, this is not just a school. The church is gathered, right? This is the church house because the church is here, okay? This is the church house. Did any of y'all use the word sanctify this week outside of the walls of this church house? I know that it seems like a churchy word. I know it's kind of like Christianese. But it's a Bible word through and through, okay? It's a Bible word through and through. And I'll never apologize for using a Bible word with you, okay? I'll always use the Bible word. I mean, this is the word sanctify that Jesus prayed over us in the high priestly prayer. John 17, verse 17 through 19. Listen to what Jesus said so you can see how important this word sanctify is, that we need to have it in our vocabulary. Jesus says, John 17, 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the word sanctify needs to be added to your vocabulary. What does it mean? Sanctify simply means to make something holy. To cleanse it from sin, to cleanse something for sin from sin. That's why we read in verse 26 of our text, that he might sanctify her. Listen to the washing language. Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. It's to be cleansed from sin. It's to be made spotless. And so by extension, sanctify means to be made like the spotless one. To be made like the sinless one, Jesus Christ. And so, husbands, you're to sacrifice your life to make your wife more like Jesus. Have you ever thought about that being one of your jobs? Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought that was your job. Well, it is. One of my jobs is to help make your wife more like Jesus. Oh, Pastor, I thought that was the Holy Spirit's job. It is. It's the Holy Spirit's job too. But never, ever forget that it's your calling as well, husbands. It is your calling to make your wife like Christ. You're to be her spiritual leader. You're to be her spiritual teacher. In fact, think about this. Paul instructs wives in 1 Corinthians 14:35. Here's what he says. He says, if there is anything wives desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home. Now, why in the world would Paul say that? Wives, if you want to learn anything, ask your husbands at home. Why? Is it because wives are not smart enough? No way, man. I've seen some of the most intelligent people in the world who are women, right? So it has nothing to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with ability. It has everything to do with the fact that God has called husbands to be the spiritual head of their wives. Brothers, you're to be the pastor of your home. You are. You're to be the pastor of your home. You're to work to sanctify your wife, to make her more like Jesus. And so how do you do that? Because you're saying, I don't know about that. It's simple. Verse 26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. You are to bathe her in the Bible. You're to soak her in Scripture. You're to cleanse her and wash her with the word. Just like Real water washes and gets rid of dirt. The metaphorical water of the Bible cleanses our souls. And can we just admit that that's a sacrifice? It's a sacrifice. That's one of the reasons why we men struggle at it. We just struggle at it. We have to sacrifice. One of the ways that we have to sacrifice as husbands is that we have to sacrifice to know the Word of God. Some of us don't want to wash our wives in the water because we just feel ignorant of the Bible and its doctrine. And so what do? Some of us just do nothing. We fold our hands and say, I'm just inadequate. I just can't do it. I don't know what to say to her. I don't know what to do. But here's what you should be doing. If you say, I feel ignorant, I feel inadequate of the Bible, what do? You dig deep in the Word of God. Amen? You dig deep. You jump in there. You learn. You grow. You devour the Bible. You read. You listen. You seek opportunities to be a disciple. Brothers, I want you to know that there's a man in my previous church who's only been a Christian for almost 4 years. He's what we would call a baby Christian. But you can have a conversation with that man as deep theologically as you want to have. I mean, you can, anything, bring up any doctrine, bring up anything, and he's going to be conversant in the Bible. He's going to be conversant in the doctrine. He's going to be able to talk about these things. He's all those things. He's never been to seminary. How can that be? How can he be like that? That's because his desire to know the Word of God couldn't be quenched, right? He tried to read everything that he could put his hands on. He sacrificed the time to grow, right? He tried to listen to the podcasts and sermons and lectures. And I got to say, if he listens to this on down the road here, I'm not trying to blow him up because God in his grace did it. But he's grown exponentially. And you might be saying, well, Pastor, that guy must be like some kind of PhD or something. He must be really, really super intelligent. And I'm not saying anything about his intelligence. I'm just saying this. He works at a cabinet factory in Smithville, Tennessee. He's just a regular guy. And so what's my point? If you want to grow, you will grow. Amen? If you want to grow, you will grow. Guys, just be brave. Jump in there. I mean, again, some of you might be intimidated by your wife spiritually. Pastor, you just don't know how smart my wife is in the Word of God. But what you fail to realize is that it's not a contest. The leader doesn't have to be the smartest person in the room. He just has to be willing to go forward. He just has to be willing to initiate. He just has to be willing to lead. And so jump out there and lead. That also means not only do you have to sacrifice to know the Word of God, you also have to sacrifice your time. Because it takes time. If you're going to wash your wife in the Word of God, it takes time. It might mean you have to get up earlier in the morning or stay up later in the evening. Or it might mean, oh, I'm about to step on some toes here. Mainly mine, okay? Turn off the TV. My wife would love to just take it and throw it in the yard. Guys, turn off the TV. Ben Simpson, turn off the TV. Take the time to bathe your wife in the Word of God so that she might become more like Jesus. Husbands, by the power of the Holy Spirit, lay down your life for your wife by sacrificing to sanctify her. Secondly, husbands, by the power of the Holy Spirit, lovingly lay down your life for your wife by sacrificing to provide for her. Sacrifice to provide for her. Look at verse 28 through 30. Verse 28 through 30. In the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body. Husbands, we naturally love ourselves, don't we? We eat well. In fact, some of us may love ourselves a little too much in that area, okay? We take care of ourselves. We make sure that we have food for ourselves and clothes and a home and a car and all that we have to live in this world. But when we marry a woman, we're no longer just concerned about ourselves, are we? We now have a wife to provide for. That means we have to work. And we got to work hard, man. We are called to nourish our wives, not only spiritually, but also physically. And that means that you and I very well might have to do things. We ought to be willing to do anything, actually, within the bounds of Christian morality to provide for our wives. That might mean that we have to take a job that we just hate for a season. Some of y'all right now very well might be in a job that you just don't like, and the only thing that is keeping you in that job is because you have a family to provide for. And again, I want to say that honors Jesus. Keep working. Keep at it. You realize that your workplace happiness is less important than providing for your family. That also might mean that you have to take a job, a dirty job, that Mike Rowe would say, oh man, ooh. I mean, when Christy and I first married, I was a pastor by day and a pastor by night and a plumber by day. And I mean, I don't know if y'all ever done any plumbing work, but it doesn't get much nastier than plumbing work. When somebody calls you up and says, hey, our toilet just won't flush, you think you can come out and fix that? I'm like, oh man, here we go. I mean, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. Right? To provide for his family. Like Dave Ramsey likes to say, man, you got to get up, leave the cave, go kill something, drag it home, and put it on the table. That's what you got to do. A man's got to do what a man's got to do. And that's the mentality of a godly husband. Husbands, you got to feel the burden to provide for your family. Now, that doesn't mean that your wife never works outside the home. I mean, that's a matter of Christian wisdom. That's a matter of Christian liberty. If she wants to work outside the home and it works for your family, then praise God. But it means that above all, you as the leader feel that burden to make sure that your family is provided for. Now, remember in our text here that the husband is equated to whom? Help me out. The husband is equated to whom? Jesus Christ. And the wife is equated to whom? The church. Now think about this. Jesus Christ has provided everything for the church, hasn't he? Everything. The church has been adequately provided for, supplied for. Jesus has provided everything for the church, and he nourishes it. And husbands, every day when that alarm clock goes off, and I know some of y'all get up before the chickens get up. Every day when that alarm clock gets off, you get the opportunity to honor Jesus Christ by sacrificing to provide for your wife. And so by the power of the Holy Spirit, this will be a blessed motivation to you. It will be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Third, husbands, by the power of the Holy Spirit, lovingly lay down your life for your wife by sacrificing to cherish her. Sacrifice to cherish her. Again, we naturally cherish our own bodies. But guess what? When you said, I do, to that woman, you became one flesh with her. You became united. You became one flesh. And so you're now not two people, but you're a one flesh union. And just as you cherish yourself, you're to cherish her. In fact, I bet on your wedding day, you said something like this. I take you to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to what, church? Cherish. From this day forward, until death do us part. You've promised to cherish her. And can I just say this? Can I just speak for the wives for a moment? She longs for you to cherish her. She wants to be your passion. She wants to be your treasure. She wants to be the apple of your eye. There was a man, Willard Harley, who wrote a book. He wrote it several years ago now called His Needs, Her Needs. How to affair-proof your marriage. And in that book, he lists what he believes the top five needs of a woman are, the top five needs of a wife are. And as you look at those top five, the top three have to do with cherishing her. The number one thing that he lists is affection. That your wife, husbands, she needs affection. He says that from a woman's point of view, affection is the essential cement of her relationship with a woman or with a man. Affection is the essential cement of her relationship with a man. Now, husbands, when we hear the word affection, what do we think of? Sex, right? That's what we think of. That's how God has made us. But guess what? Husbands, when she hears the word affection, that ain't what she's thinking about. I mean, I'm not saying that's not on her list. I'm just saying it's down a little bit. She's thinking about this. Her affection goes deeper. It goes wider. It includes engaging in two-way conversation. How many times has your wife tried to talk with you and you're like, you get a grunt, right, wives? She wants you to engage her. Talk with her. Give something more than a yes, no grunt answer. That's an affection to her. It includes honesty and openness. It includes hand-holding and spending time together. It includes gift buying and doing things around the house. It includes leaving a note or just sending a text saying, honey, I just want you to know I love you and I'm thinking about you. Things like that, man, go a long way. They go a long way to make you feel, to make your wife feel loved. And yes, brothers, this is a sacrifice for most of us because we don't think this way. For most of us, that's not how we feel most loved. But we want our wife to feel loved. And so we got to think about her. We got to think how she thinks. We want her to feel cherished. And so we've got to cherish her in the way that she desires to be cherished. We've got to get out of our own little man bubble and cherish our wives. And then finally this morning, husbands, by the power of the Holy Spirit, lovingly lay down your life for your wife by sacrificing to cling to her. To cling to her. Sacrifice to cling to her. Look at verse 31 through 33. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Hold fast to your wife. Now, some of your translations might say be joined, or your translation might say unite. Whatever your translation says, the idea here is to never separate from your wife. Like the traditional wedding vow that we just read, to have and to hold from this day forward until death do us part. The word that's translated here as hold fast is the Greek word proskalao. And you know what that literally means? It literally means to be glued together. To be glued together, right? Stuck like glue. You and me, baby, we are stuck like glue. Now, we're not literally glued together. You've got to choose to stay together. You've got to choose to cling to her. You've got to choose to hold fast to her. You've got to choose to emotionally pull her close, physically close, and have a resolve to never let go. And yes, this is a sacrifice. Again, we live in a day and an age where divorce, it's so easy. You don't even have to have a reason. Just no fault divorce. It's so easy. And we hear people to say stupid things like, well, we're better friends now than when we were married. Well, that's dumb. Stay married and be friends. It's so easy nowadays to just get divorced. And so you've got to decide up front, I'm going to cling to her. I'm not going to let her go. She's mine and I am hers. Because there's going to be times when she's going to disappoint you. I don't need any amens at this point, men, okay? Just keep them to yourselves. There'll be times when she's going to make you madder than a wet hornet. There's going to be times that life will just be hard with her. And in due time, that outer beauty, that woman that you married on your wedding day, that outer beauty, that youthful beauty is going to begin to fade. But by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you catching that theme throughout this? By the power of the Holy Spirit, you will cling to her. I asked the wives a similar question last week. about submission. I'm going to ask you men, you husbands this week, a question about holding fast, about clinging to your wife. When should a husband stop clinging to his wife? That's an important question, right? When should a husband stop clinging to his wife? But before we answer that question, here's the question we got to answer first. When will Christ stop clinging to the church? And when you answer that question, you have your answer to the other question. In other words, the answer is what? Never. Never, ever, ever, never let go. Husbands, never let go for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Cling to that woman and hold fast to her. Sacrifice to stay together with her. Brothers, how many of you guys want to be an awesome husband in the eyes of God? Amen? Come on. Do you want to be an awesome husband in the eyes of God? Well, listen to what Jesus said. Look at what he said here. Long before Paul ever said what he said in Ephesians 5, Jesus said this in Mark 10, verse 43 and 44. Jesus said this, but whoever would be great among you, Mark 10, 43, but whoever would be great among you, you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Brothers, that's what God has called you to. He's called you to do that as a husband, and never forget that He's given you the Holy Spirit to do it. Wives, I want you to just take a minute and turn and look at your husbands for just a moment. Let me ask you this question, wives. A man who is laying down his life for you, sacrificing to sanctify you, sacrificing to provide for you, sacrificing to cherish you, sacrificing to cling to you, is that the kind of man? That's the kind of husband? Is that the kind of husband that you can happily submit to? Amen. Absolutely. You betcha. You betcha. And so here's the conclusion, brothers. May we be Christ-like husbands who, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Holy Spirit-filled sacrifice, make it easy for our wife to submit to our leadership. That's God's goal, and that's God's will. Now remember that Paul said that he's not just talking about husbands and wives. He's talking about Jesus and the church as well. Just as he's called husbands to sacrifice, I want to just share with you this morning that Jesus Christ sacrificed as well. Jesus Christ laid down his life. When he's called husbands to sacrifice their life, metaphorically, he literally laid down his life to die. Why in the world would Jesus do that? Because you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and so am I. So why would Jesus do that? He died, he sacrificed himself that he might save us. And so as we've talked about sacrifice this morning, I pray this morning that you would receive the sacrifice of Christ. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You've walked in these doors, maybe you've been curious, or maybe this morning you've never thought about it at all, but the Holy Spirit is saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus this morning. Jesus Christ died that you would be saved from your sins. He sacrificed himself that we would have life everlasting. And so I want to offer that to you this morning. We're about to have an invitation. I want to go ahead and invite our musicians forward. If you're here this morning and Christ is not the Savior and Lord of your life, I pray that during this invitation you would get up from your seat. You would walk forward. I would love to begin to talk with you and to pray with you and to lead you to come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. He's offered himself to you. And maybe you're here this morning, husbands, and you just want to come forward and just lay down face first on these prayer chairs here and cry out to God and say, God, fill me with the Spirit that I would be a husband like you've called me to be. I can't do it myself, but through the power of the Spirit, I can, Father, so fill me with the Spirit. Or maybe you and your wife want to come forward and just have prayer together, or to pray with me. I'll be right here. I'll be glad, so glad, to pray with you. I only ask one thing during the invitation. Would you be obedient to God? Whatever He's called you to do, would you do it? Whether it's trust Him or whatever it is, I'll be right here. I can't wait to meet you down front. Let's pray together. Let's go ahead and stand together and I'll pray. Father, what a high calling You've called us to in this passage, Father. But You've not left us to ourselves. You've given us the Spirit that we might walk in it and perform it. And so, Father, right now, would husbands in humility pray the Holy Spirit down on them, Lord, that they might walk. And Lord, if there's a person here who's yet to come to Christ, maybe there's a wife here who's married to somebody that doesn't know Jesus, and he wouldn't even set foot in a church with her. Maybe she wants to come forward and plead the blood of Christ over her husband, that he would come to know Christ. Whatever it needs to happen at this time, God, we just give this invitation to You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be obedient to God. Pastor Mark.